नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सुमिथिर्यसुदुस्तरं द्युमान् पवार्णवं भीमम पाद्रसोहृता भवात्पदम्बोरुहनावमत्र ते निधाय यथा सदनुग्रहो भवान्।
O Lord, who resembled the shining sun, you are always ready to fulfill the desire of your devotee, and therefore you're known as a desire tree, Banshakalpataru. When acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet in order to cross the fierce ocean of nescience, they leave behind on earth the method by which they cross. And because you are very merciful to your other devotees, you accept this method to help them. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This statement reveals how the merciful acharyas and the merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead together help the serious devotee who wants to return home back to Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his teachings to Sri Rupa Goswami, said, Ramanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasari Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. One can achieve the seed of Bhakti Lata, devotional service, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. The duty of the Guru is to find the means according to the time, the circumstances, and the candidate by which one can be induced to render devotional service, which Krishna accepts from a candidate who wants to be successful in going back home, back to Godhead. After wandering throughout the universe, a fortunate person within this material world seeks shelter of such a guru or acharya, who trains the devotee in the suitable ways to render service according to the circumstances, so that the Supreme Personality of Godhead will accept the service. This makes it easier for the candidate to reach the ultimate destination. The acharya's duty, therefore, is to find the means by which devotees may render service according to the references from Shastra. Rupa Goswami, for example, in order to help subsequent devotees, published such devotional books as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Thus, it is the duty of the acharya to publish books that will help future candidates take up the method of service and become eligible to return home, back to Godhead, by the mercy of the Lord. In our Krishna consciousness movement, this same path is being prescribed and follows. Thus, the devotees have been advised to refrain from four sinful activities, illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling, and to chant 16 rounds a day. These are bona fide instructions. Because in the Western countries, constant chanting is not possible, one should not artificially imitate Haridas Thakur, but should follow this method. Krishna will accept a devotee who strictly follows the regulative principles and the method prescribed in the various books and literatures published by the authorities. The acharya gives the suitable method for crossing the ocean of nescience by accepting the boat of the Lord's lotus feet. And if this method is strictly followed, the followers will ultimately reach the destination by the grace of the Lord. This is the method called Acharya Sampradaya. It is therefore said, Sampradaya Vihinaye Mantraste Nishpalamata, from the Padma Purana. The Acharya Sampradaya is strictly bona fide. Therefore, one must accept the Acharya Sampradaya. Otherwise, one's endeavor will be futile. Srila Narottam Das Thakur therefore sings, Tandra Charana Sevi Bhakta Sanivas, Janame Janame Hoi E Abhilas. One must worship the lotus feet of the Acharya and live within the society of devotees. Then one's endeavor to cross over nescience will surely be successful. This year, the celebration of Janamastami is very special for all of us because not only is it the most glorious celebration of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared just at the end of the Dwapara Yuga in his original supreme form, but it is also the day preceding the 108th appearance day of our beloved founder Acharya and very life and soul, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The verse we have read today is a verse offered to Lord Krishna while in womb of Devaki by the demigods. The empowered agents controlling the functions of the universe. In this particular sloka, they speak thus, O Lord, who resemble the shining sun, you are always ready to fulfill the desire of your devotee, and therefore you are known as a desire tree. When Acharyas completely take shelter under the lotus feet, under your lotus feet, in order to cross the fierce ocean of nescience, they leave behind on earth the method by which they cross. And because you are very merciful to your other devotees, you accept this method to help them. Lord Chaitanya taught us that the only means by which we can actually understand Krishna in truth is Mahajano Yena Katasa Panda, is by following in the footsteps of the great souls. Simply by studying scriptures, performing austerities, or even by endeavoring one's whole life in spiritual practice, Krishna does not reveal himself. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Swarat, he is independent. He is not bound by anybody's demands. He is not obliged by anyone's performance of religious acts. To attain impersonal liberation, to attain elevation to heavenly planets, yogic mystic cities, or a better life in this world, that is attainable simply by performing the prescribed rituals that
can earn that. We have seen even demons like Kamsa, Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, Kumbhakarna, Vrikasura,
they performed tapasya. They understood the scriptures.
They were enemies of the Lord. They had evil and envious hearts. But still they gained tremendous wealth, benedictions, where they achieved mystical powers. So these things are earned by our endeavors. But to understand God as He is, that formula does not work. Krishna explains in Gita, Bhaktyatvana niyashakya aham evam vidurajana jyatam tarastam cha tatvaina praveshtam cha parantata. It is only by undivided devotional service do I reveal myself to devotee. Krishna is independent. Therefore, Krishna reveals himself according to his sweet will. What is required is our sincerity to follow in the footsteps of the great souls. Rupa Goswami, he begins Sri Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by explaining what is pure devotional service. Pure devotional service is so very rare. Why is it so rare? Because one who attains this pure devotion, although Krishna is all attractive, Krishna is attracted by the love of a devotee. Although Krishna is a supreme controller of all controllers, Krishna, by his own pleasure, longs to be controlled by the love of his devotee. Krishna has said in many places that I am the prisoner within the heart of my devotee. So yes, other yogic methods, we can attain peace, and we can attain power, and we can attain great morality. But in order to achieve the ecstatic love that ultimately the heart is longing for, Krishna must reveal himself within our heart. And when he reveals himself within the heart of a devotee, he remains, in his own words, like a prisoner in the heart of the devotee. And therefore, in this world, it is only the pure devotees who could actually inspire true Krishna consciousness within our lives. Therefore, Rupa Goswami declares that pure devotional service is offered favorably. Samsadir Haritoshanam. That means it is not offered for any personal interest. It is done according to what Krishna desires for the pleasure of Krishna. And pure devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted, without desire even for material gain or mystic powers or even liberation from all suffering. We have been speaking past few days about this quality of a Vaishnava. They're so humble and so pure in their heart. They feel unfit to ask Krishna for elevation to the spiritual world. They simply want to be the servant of the devotees. Always in that place where they will get the remnants of the devotees, and they will hear and chant the glories of the Lord in the assembly of sadhus.
Krishna has arranged in this way that those who love him reveal him. Srila Prabhupada, whose appearance day we will be celebrating tomorrow, how he endeavored in such a historical sacrifice of compassion to give Krishna to the world. We know how he suffered 2 heart attacks on a cargo ship when he came to America, and he had no money, living in ghetto, no followers, nothing. But he endeavored. Although, apparently, by material standards, there was failure after failure. But Prabhupada never saw anything as a failure, because he had complete faith in the order of Krishna and his guru. Therefore, Prabhupada was seeing positive opportunities, even in the most difficult circumstances, to teach us the attitude and perception we must have in life if we want to really progress on the spiritual path. And then he started that little storefront in Second Avenue, and there he wanted to incorporate a society with a few people who were somewhat interested in his mission. And he named it the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. There was only a few interested people who were becoming devotees in a tiny little storefront in the Lower East Side of New York. And Prabhupada's talking about an international society? What a vision. And some of the people said to him, and they were actually well-wishers, "Swamiji, you shouldn't call it Krishna consciousness, because people don't know what is Krishna. You will alienate people. You should call it the International Society for God Consciousness." And Prabhupada explained that there are so many societies in this world teaching about God. But there must be one society that people from all over the world can come to, in which they are taught nothing less than pure, unadulterated, uncompromised, unconditional loving service to the Supreme Lord. Because that is the subject of Srimad Bhagavatam. Dharma Prajita Kaita Vatra Paramandira Matsaranam Satam. Srila Vedavyas explains, and he is the knower. He has compiled so many Vedic literatures. Yajurveda, Rigveda, Atharvaveda, Samaveda, the Upanishads, 108 primary Upanishads, the Mahabharata, Vedanta Sutra, the Puranas. And he knew with his vision there would be also be so many scriptures throughout the world. But in all of these scriptures, they are mixing love of God with so many other compromises. Therefore called Kaitava Dharma. People naturally become deceived from understanding what is really the treasure, the Purushartha Siromani, the crest jewel of all goals of life. That is unconditional loving service to the Supreme Lord. And that unconditional service is the source of the greatest happiness for the soul.
Why?
Because the absolute truth is all attractive. Krishna, Madan Mohan, even Kamadev or Cupid, who keeps everyone within this cosmic manifestation bound by the ropes of material desires and attachments. Even Cupid becomes bewildered and falls unconscious being so attracted to Krishna. Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure. Everyone's essential fundamental need in life is to love and to be loved. And without that, nothing within the 14 worlds can really satisfy our heart. But such love must be everlasting and perfect. We have that tendency because Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Satya Kabu Noi Sravanadi Sudhi Chiti Koriye Udhoi. Because love of God is dormant within the heart of every living entity. It has simply been forgotten. Like the sun covered by the dark cloud of false ego. In that false ego, we have so many superficial, artificial designations. I am this body. And we identify with all the designations of the body. I am man, I am woman, I am American, I am Indian, I am of this race, I am of this religion. We forget what's within. When we think that we're this body, then we become very much attached to what we want to be our own. Thus, birth after birth after birth, we cannot see what's in our own heart, the shining light of love for God. But to realize Krishna can only take place by the mercy of Krishna. Therefore, Rupa Goswami describes in this way, Krishna reveals himself in full when our devotional service is ahoitaki apratihata, unmotivated, unconditional, uninterrupted. And Srila Prabhupada said, the Krishna consciousness movement is for this purpose, to give people the opportunity to actually understand the fountainhead of the absolute truth, the summum bonum of all revelations of God, the all-beautiful, all-merciful personality of Godhead, and to surrender our hearts in love. And in surrendering our hearts in love, Krishna, by his causeless, inconceivable mercy, gives us entrance into his eternal pastimes of the spiritual world. So Srila Prabhupada has given us Srimad Bhagavatam and the realizations and revelations of all the great acharyas who have understood it perfectly and preserved its original essence. This is called parampara or sampradaya, where the original message of the Supreme Lord is preserved from one great pure-hearted soul to the next. And Srila Prabhupada wanted to teach this principle so strongly because the tendency in the world today is if a person has some power or some charisma, people believe them. Prabhupada had charisma and he had powers, but he did not display them in that way. Time and again he said, my only qualification is I am simply repeating
what I have heard from my spiritual master without adding or subtracting anything. Just speaking the truth as it is. And living that truth as it is. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo viti tatvata tyaktva deham punarajanma naiti mameti sorojana. One who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not take birth in this material world again, but attains to my eternal spiritual abode. So the spiritual master who is giving the highest revelation is one who is simply giving us Krishna. At one time in our society, some devotees, due to the influence of various conditionings and books they were reading, decided that Prabhupada was God. That Prabhupada was Krishna. That Guru is Krishna. After all, we sing, Yasya Prasadant, Bhagavat Prasado, Yasya Prasadant Agati Kutopi. That if you please Guru, you please Krishna. And if you don't please Guru, you don't please Krishna. Sakshadharitvena samasta sastraya. That the spiritual master is worshipped as good as God. So Prabhupada must be God. He must be Krishna. And we are so offensive that we didn't recognize him. Now, for many people, for this type of propaganda to be spoken about them, it would be very nice. Yes? Prabhupada became angrier than anyone ever had ever seen him. Because he understood that this misconception will spoil everything. The spiritual master is worshipped like God, not because he is God, but because he's representing the Lord. Prabhupada said, I am simply the postal peon, just delivering the message of the Supreme Truth. Prabhupada said, one who declares to be God is dog, which is spelled backwards. We can never become God. We've never been God, and we are not God. Either you're God or you're not. God never falls under the control of his own illusions. Mamayvam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manashashtanandriyani prakritishtani karshati. This is the teaching of Gita. We are God, but simultaneously we're not God. Harivo. Now that makes so much nice sense, does it not? You simultaneously inconceivable are and are not. You've always been, but simultaneously you've never been. You always will be, but simultaneously it's impossible to ever be. This is called Achintya Veda Veda Tattva. That yes, we are God in that we are part and parcel of the Supreme. The sun ray is the sun, but it's a part and parcel. From one point of view, you can say the sun ray and the sun are one, because the sun ray is the energy of the sun and has the same quality of light and heat. But the sun is supreme. The ray can never be the sun. It is only a tiny emanation of the sun with the same quality as the sun. So we are, as part and parcel of God, we are Satchit Ananda. eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. But the scripture teaches, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam Eko Bahonam Yo Vedadati Kaman, that there are many, many, many eternals, and there is one supreme eternal. All the many eternals are always subordinate to the one supreme eternal. Now we have the qualities of the Lord, and one of the qualities of the Lord, as we explained, is Swarat, which means independence. Krishna is supremely independent. There's nothing that God cannot do. Therefore, when we read the incredible, miraculous pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when He appears within this world, or when He comes in various avatars, a devotee who has proper intelligence never doubts that this is mythology. This is just something created by the creative minds of man. Just like in Hollywood and Bollywood, they are making so many movies with special effects and fiction. Amongst novels, fiction is very, very popular. Fiction means sometimes a message, sometimes no message at all. But somebody's fertile brain could just think of so many incredible stories and just create them, although there's no historical substance to it. People are very attracted to that. But Krishna could do anything. Krishna can float all the planets within this universal creation. Krishna could create a human being out of an insignificant little seed without the mother and father even knowing what is happening. Yes, if you want to construct something in this world, you have to know how to do it. Just like in our temple, you see so many inconvenient construction situations over the years. Because we have structural engineers who are telling us, if you don't do it this way, the building's going to fall down. And it's so easy to just do it a different way. But we don't know. Somebody has to know how to put things together. Computers just don't manifest on trees. There has to be engineers who know how to put them together. But how is a child born? The mother and father never went to college and got their PhDs in creating a child and birth engineering. I know, engineering the various components of a human child. In today's age, not only do they not know how to do it, they don't even want it to happen, and it's happening anyway. Yes? Sometimes. But Krishna's creating inconceivable miracles at every moment. If we just become a little bit aware of reality, we see the miracles of God everywhere we go. So when that supreme absolute truth descends to the earth, Avajananti mamudha manusintaramashvata parambhavamajananto mamabhuta maheshwaram. Fools think he's just an ordinary person. We have talked to people in India. Yes, I know Krishna. He was a good politician and very strong person. When Krishna appears, performs such incredible, inconceivable acts to attract our hearts. And one who understands the transcendental nature of Krishna's appearance and activities becomes purified and never has to take birth in this world again. Thus in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, the description of Krishna, his appearance within this world and his transcendental pastimes is being described.
Now, in order to actually benefit from this subject matter, Mahajano yena gatasa panta, we must follow in the footsteps of great souls. Parikshit Maharaj attained the supreme perfection of life in 7 days, and all he did is sit and listen. Yes? Saravanam kirtanam
Vishnu.
He was just hearing. But how was he hearing? First of all, he was hearing from the proper source, Shukadev Goswami, who was a pure-hearted soul who was repeating the message he had heard from Vedavyas, his father, who heard from Narada Muni, who heard from Brahma and Krishna, Parampara. But Parikshit Maharaj, he was listening with such a state of urgency that lobha, that sense of greed or eagerness, is necessary to digest the subject matter. Just like in order to properly digest food, hunger is required. Yes? If you just have no hunger, you can't digest. You have no desire to eat. It's very difficult. Oftentimes, when people are very much diseased and they have no hunger, it's a great tragedy because they can't live if they don't eat. But they can't eat without hunger. Yes? Just like at midnight tonight, because many of you are fasting today, when the Ekadasi Prasad is brought before you, you'll be very happy. You will really relish that prasad because you're hungry. But let us say Govardhan Puja. You eat 108 preparations, as much as you can, until you're laying on your left side helplessly. And then someone comes with the same Ekadasi feast that you're going to get tonight. What will you do? Will you be enthusiastic? There's no way. You'll get sick if you eat it. There's no hunger. So what was the hunger in the heart of Maharaj Parikshit? First of all, he was humble. Because when there's false pride, your heart is full of yourself. You're so eager to hear and chant about yourself, what I've done, who I am, how I've done it, what I will do. Most of it isn't even true. In fact, none of it's true. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani saravasha ahankara vimudata. Krishna says in Gita, the bewildered spirit soul thinks to be the doer of activities, but actually they're being carried out by nature. Krishna is the strength of the strong, the intelligence of the intelligent, the ability in man. Without the grace of God, we can do nothing, we can speak nothing. But yet we're so eager to take credit. This is a bewildered state. So Parikshit Maharaj was the king of the entire world. And he was cursed to die in 7 days for a slight mistake. But he was so humble. He didn't try to counteract the curse. He didn't try to seek revenge on that small child who he could have pulverized with his military phalanxes. He accepted it as God's mercy. I'm so much attached to all these things. Krishna has given me the opportunity to perfect my life in 7 days. He was happy. 7 days.
Prabhupada explains,
there is no person in this entire world who knows that they're guaranteed even 7 minutes. Parikshit Maharaj knew 7 days, and he wanted to prepare himself, and he was eager.
He went to the bank of Ganga, Yamuna, and there, assembly of great sages came, and he wanted to hear about Krishna and the goal of life from them. He was hungry, he was starving for Krishna. And then Sukadeva Goswami came to speak. Recently, when I was coming here, just 3 days back, half hour before the plane was to land, there was announcement on the plane. This is an emergency announcement. Everyone listen carefully. This is very serious. It is an emergency. The plane has lost its control facilities. The control technology of the airplane has gone out. Therefore, we have no longer control of this plane. We are being forced to make an emergency landing in less than a half hour. People were quite serious. People were turning off their movies and everything like that. And they said that you have to sit down in a certain way because we're going to be hitting the runway at over twice the speed that we usually do, and we have to stop the plane within seconds. So it's going to be jerking and bouncing and jerking and bouncing, and if the siren goes off, then everyone as soon as possible must run to the emergency exit and slide down the slide. And be sure you know where your emergency exit will be, because it is likely you will have to do that. And they went on and on. And about every 5 minutes for a half hour, emergency, emergency, announcement, and they kept telling us the same thing. And the airline hostesses were going to each and every passenger. And they were scared as anything themselves. But they were looking really composed because that's their job. And they were saying, do you have any questions? Do you understand what you have to do? You have to sit like this. You have to bend down. You have to, when the jerking stops and it's all coming. And if that siren comes, run to that emergency exit. Do not hesitate. Do not carry any hand baggage, nothing. It's life or death. And I was contemplating many things. But one of the things I was contemplating is, I always was thinking that Parikshit Maharaj had 7 days to prepare himself for death. And that wasn't much time. But I may not even have 7 minutes. According to them, within a half hour, we're going to make this crash emergency landing. And they don't know, and they actually admitted they didn't know what was going to happen. Padam padam yad vipadam natesham. That in this world there is danger at every step. So Parikshit Maharaj, when he was coming to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, he wasn't coming as a Hindu ritual because it's Janmashtami. It's a pious activity. It's what should be done. All my forefathers will be proud of me. No. It was life and death. It was desperation. He was about to die. He wanted to fill his heart with Krishna. If we have that urgency, if we have that hunger to hear the glories of the Lord, then the message will be digestible to our hearts. If we have the humility of Maharaj Parikshit, then the message could actually be assimilated and will nourish our soul with love. Anyways, the plane, you don't want to hear the rest of that story, I think. But sure enough, when the plane was about to do this landing, it was going really fast, all of a sudden, brace, brace! Everyone was screaming, brace, brace! And everyone went down and... the plane just hit the ground so hard, everyone was shaking in the bag, and it was going... and all of a sudden, you just smell burning and burning, and surrounding the flight, the plane, on all sides, was dozens and dozens of ambulances and fire trucks just following us with all the lights blazing. And the brakes were on full, and they were burning and burning and burning. I don't know how many hundreds of miles an hour it was going, but within seconds, it stopped, and everyone was just... And they told us the danger is not over yet because the brakes are so hot that they could catch on fire, and if the brakes catch on fire, they can make the whole plane explode. So stay where you are, and if the siren goes off, run to that emergency exit. And they said, we're not allowed to go near the terminal because the brakes are so hot. And meanwhile, there were fire trucks and ambulances just surrounding us with their lights illuminating. It wasn't a very pleasant illumination. It was an emergency. And then after some time, maybe about 20 minutes, when nobody knew whether they were going to live or die, then the plane starts moving. And the pilot says, he gives his farewell speech. He says, we are very sorry for this disturbance, but these things do happen in modern aviation technology. But we do hope that next time you fly somewhere, you do choose to come on British Airways. It was a wonderful flight, actually. People were very, and people just walked out. Nobody said a word. So yes, Parikshit Maharaj had 7 days, and we just take it for granted. Maybe when I'm 99 years old, then I'll think I have 7 days to live, and then I'll become serious. But by that time, you might not even have a brain to think. The fact is, that was what Maharaj Yudhisthira was asked by the Yaksha. What is the most incredible thing on earth? Very well. Parikshit Maharaj said, the most incredible thing is everywhere around we see death, but everyone is thinking it's not going to happen to me. But it could come to anyone at any time. That is reality. It's not just some propaganda. So yes, Parikshit Maharaj took very seriously. And Sukadev Goswami, when he heard Parikshit Maharaj's questions, what is the essence of all religion? There are so many religious instructions and rules and regulations and rituals and various types of faith, but what is the essence? That's what I don't have time to discuss all this other. What is the essence? I need to know now. What is the supreme occupation for all humanity? And what is the prime duty of a person who's about to die, which includes everyone? Munayasura Prishtoham Bhavadbir Lokamangalam Yakrita Krishna Samprasno Yenatma Suprasidati.
Such questions are glorious because they're the subject matter of Krishna. Therefore, they are for the ultimate benefit for all types of humanity. Shukadev Goswami has just spoken 9 cantos of Bhagavatam.
That means many days have passed. Parikshit Maharaj was listening and he took a vow. He would not eat, he would not drink, he would not sleep. He would simply immerse himself day and night in hearing the glories of the Lord. And Parikshit Maharaj here is describing that I am not feeling any hunger or any thirst or any tiredness because I am listening to the nectar flowing from your mouth, Shukadev Goswami. Please carry on with your speaking.
Our great acharyas explain that Parikshit Maharaj was thinking that previously, when I was hungry and thirsty in the forest, I became so bewildered that I offended Samigrishi, and that's why I got cursed to die. And that was just a few hours without food and water. But now, days and days and days have gone without a drop of water or a morsel of food. But because I'm hearing Hari Kathamrita, the nectar of the glories of Lord Hari, my heart is being so filled and nourished that hunger, thirst, and fatigue do not slightly even affect me. It is described that Shukadev Goswami was like the full moon. The full moon drips nectar, illuminates darkness with light, and fills the sky with joy. In the same way, Maharaj Parikshit, who was like a chakora bird, always eager, unlimitedly eager to just taste the rays coming from Sukadev Goswami. All darkness was being dispelled from his heart. He was drinking the ecstatic taste of nectar, and he felt great joy. Krishna tells in Gita that he descends into this world to annihilate the miscreants, to protect the devotees, and to reestablish principles of religion. But Krishna is all merciful. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that to the demons, he's like rock candy. When you have jaundice, because the reason a person is demoniac is because they're diseased. Essentially, we're all part of Krishna. But in a diseased condition, the disease of forgetting our relationship with God, then all kinds of symptoms, aggravated symptoms may come. Envy, pride, greed, lust, anger, illusion. When a person with jaundice takes sugar candy, it tastes very bitter, but later on it cures him. So similarly, when Krishna kills the demons don't like it when it's happening. It tastes very bad. But ultimately, they get liberated. They get healed and cured of their disease, and they experience ecstatic health. Parikshit Maharaj was appealing to Shukadev Goswami, tell me more. He wanted to hear about the original supreme personality of Godhead. In the previous 9 cantos, he heard about various empowered incarnations of the Lord. But now he was eager to hear about that source of all incarnations.
he was eager to hear. And therefore, Shukadeva Goswami was eager to speak. I remember seeing Prabhupada eagerly speaking about Krishna, and 80% of the devotees were falling asleep. Huh? And Prabhupada just looked upon us with such pity. He said, go take prasad. So eagerness to hear energizes the speaker. And when the speaker is energized, he energizes the enthusiasm of the hearer. So actually, Harikatha is a reciprocation of love. The Bhagavatam describes three people benefit where there is Harikatha, the topics of the Lord. The speaker, the person who inquires, and all the person who just happened to be there listening. Everyone gains great benefit. Why? Because the Supreme Lord is absolute. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Ras Vigraha. That the name of the Lord, the teachings of the Lord, the pastimes and qualities of the Lord are of a spiritual nature. They are not different than the Lord Himself. Through the medium of transcendental sound, the Lord is manifesting wherever the devotees are coming together to hear and chant His glories. Tatra tishtami narada yatra gayanti madbhakta. The Lord said, you will not find me in Vaikuntha. You will not find me in the caves of the yogis in the mountains. You will not find me in the assembly of the great scholars who are studying the scriptures. You will find me always wherever my sincere devotees come together to hear and chant my glories. Machchita madgatha pada bodhyanta parasparam katayantaschamam nityam tushyanti charamanti cha. The Lord says, my devotees, they take great pleasure. They experience bliss, enlightening one another by discussing the subjects of me. Krishna's pavitra, he is all pure. And he descends through transcendental sound to purify our hearts. The more we hear about Krishna in the proper humble attitude, the more our love for Krishna awakens. That is the ultimate aspiration of everyone. Unmotivated, unconditional love. Shukadev Goswami explains how Krishna descends into this world. And to hear it attentively on this day, Janamastami, gains very, very great spiritual fruits. It is explained in this way that Mother Earth was feeling terrible distress because she was being exploited and trampled upon by great military phalanxes which were led by envious demoniac forces. The earth is compared to a mother. The mother's desire is to nourish. For a little child, the mother provides everything. Yes? I see little babies. They don't know who the father is. Yes? They don't even care. Only the mother. The mother provides milk. The mother embraces. She knows the mother. I've been in the mother's womb for all these months. After some time, the child understands, this is my father. These are my brothers. But at the beginning, it's the mother. When the baby's crying, she's not crying for the prime minister. She's crying for the mother. So the earth is our mother. She's providing all the necessities of life. She's providing a body in which we can serve God and attain perfection. So the mother should be respected. It is a great crime to exploit our mother. And especially in this age of Kali, the exploitation of the natural resources of the earth are becoming so prominent. Why should we be surprised when there are horrible karmic reactions? If human society is throwing dynamite in fire and then it explodes, why is this happening? It's obvious why it's happening. If you exploit Mother Nature, if you misuse the gifts she's giving us, which includes our own body, then there's going to be reactions. That is the laws of karma. So on this occasion, Mother Earth assumed the form of a pure and innocent cow and went to the Mount Meru, where she approached Lord Brahma and with tears in her eyes explained her plight. Her ideal is to live in compassion, to provide people with the resources to become perfect. But she was being plundered, exploited, and disrespected, and even her innocent children were cruelly being abused. So Lord Brahma assembled the principal of the devatas, the demigods, and went to the shore of the ocean of milk, Svetadvip. And there they all offered prayers, Purusha Shukta prayers, appealing helplessly for the Lord's mercy. Here we find the greatest controllers like Lord Shiva, Lord Indra, Lord Brahma, and Mother Earth herself praying in a helpless mood for the Lord's intervention. What is our position? The Lord always hears the prayer of a sincere soul. Lord Brahma, within his meditation, heard a voice in the sky that nobody else could hear. Even if Krishna is standing before us, unless Krishna reveals himself to us, we cannot see him. The Lord was speaking in the sky, but only Brahma could hear him. And then Brahma came out of his meditation and he gave the message of the Lord. Lord Vishnu has spoken to me and through me, all of you, with this message. That he already knows all of your troubles and he's already made arrangements to resolve them. Very soon, the Supreme Lord will appear on the earth in the Yadu dynasty as the son of Vasudev and Devaki. And he desires that all of you, in your plenary expansions, will also take birth as the sons and the grandsons of the great heroes of the Yadu dynasty. Along with the Lord, Baladev, his first expansion, or Ananta, will appear, along with Yogamaya. Now everyone fulfilled the Lord's order. Upon hearing that, hope entered everyone's heart.
Soon after this, within the Yadu dynasty, there was a great devotee of the name Basudev, son of the king Surasena. He was being married to Devaki, the daughter of Devaka, in the city of Mathura. Sukadev Goswami explains that Mathura is the eternal home of the Lord Sri Krishna. When Krishna appears in Mathura, he doesn't descend from Vaikuntha. He just reveals himself because he's always living in Mathura. All the other incarnations descend from Vaikunthas to enter into Krishna because they are all his planary expansions. So the day after the marriage of Vasudev and Devaki, it was time for Vasudev to return home. He boarded a decorated chariot. And as they were about to leave, there was beautiful celebrations. There was kettle drums and bugles and conch shells and Brahmins chanting mantras. It was a festival. And meanwhile, Devaka the father was giving just precious, precious gifts to Vasudev and Devaki in honor of his daughter's marriage. It was such a happy occasion. Everyone was dancing and singing and playing wonderful instruments just to invoke auspiciousness. At that time, Kamsa, who we just met in the drama of the Brahmacharis, Kamsa, out of affection for his sister, wanted to do something to please her. So he personally got onto the chariot and took the reins and said, "I will drive you home." He wanted to show love for his sister. He was so moved by the experience of his cousin sister's marriage. And this was very, very ecstatic for everyone to see. Kamsa began the ride, and Devaki and Vasudev, just married, were happily together, and everyone was in bliss. Suddenly, an unembodied voice echoed in the sky. "Kamsa, you are a fool and rascal." The eighth child from the womb of your sister will be the cause of your death. When Kamsa heard those words, because he was envious by nature, all of his affection toward his sister disappeared. 1 minute, he's trying to please her and he's going out of her way like a menial servant, and the next minute, everything changes. You see, what is within our heart is often incited by external circumstances. Therefore, a devotee who wants purification never blames the circumstances, but understands there's something within me that has to be changed. One time a devotee was complaining to Srila Prabhupada about how he was being mistreated. Have any of you ever complained like that? Would you like to hear Prabhupada's instructions? No. Prabhupada said, "Do not be angry with the instrument of your own karma." Hare Krishna.
The fact is, whatever's coming, whoever is doing, they are instruments of our karma. And a person who's pure in heart is not incited by these things. Lord Jesus was crucified. He felt no anger. He felt no fear. He was just begging God, please forgive them. Give them your mercy. They don't know what they're doing. Haridas Thakur was brutally beaten in 22 marketplaces by men who angrily, enviously wanted to murder him. And he was praying to God from the core of his heart, please forgive them. Please give them your love and your mercy. Nityananda Prabhu was crushed in the head by Madhai, who wanted to kill him. If I've performed any good activities any time in all my previous lives, let all those pious deeds be offered for their welfare. Akarori Paramananda Nityananda Rai. Nityananda Prabhu is not angry, even when he's inflicted, because there's only love in his heart. When there's only love in your heart, all that can come out is love. Haridas Thakur was not only forgiving because there was no anger in his heart, there was no envy in his heart, there was no pride in his heart. Even when people praised him and glorified him, he considered himself the lowest and most fallen. Even when people surrendering to him, even when great persons were glorifying and honor him, Advaitacharya gave him the honors of the topmost Brahmin. Advaitacharya said to Haridas Thakur, by feeding you, I am feeding hundreds and thousands of first-class Brahmins. But Haridas was considering, I'm just an untouchable, I'm unseeable, I'm the lowest of the low. How pride did not enter his heart, even though so much glorification was coming? Because there was nothing in there. His heart was pure. And even when the most expert prostitute in all the land, Hiralaksha, she approached Thakur Haridas in the midst of the night in a lonely jungle, Benapole, Haridas had no attraction for her. His only attraction was to deliver her soul. And in Puligram, when he was living on the bank of the Ganges in a cave, Maya Devi herself appeared in the form of the most beautiful woman in all creation. But it didn't incite any kama or lust in his heart, because there was nothing there except love and compassion. So the objects of the senses have no power if there's nothing inside to attract. When there's lust, then the object of the senses can just incite that lust. It's not creating it, it's just inciting what's in you. And when that lust is unfulfilled, then circumstances incite anger. And when you have emptiness in your heart because there's no because you're lonely, then you become greedy. I want more and more and more and more and more. Like blazing fire, the more you feed your lust and greed, the hungrier the fire becomes. So Kamsa, because he was envious, even though he was in a very auspicious circumstance, trying to show affection to his sister, as soon as that voice spoke, it incited fear, envy, and hatred in his heart. Hare Krishna. Therefore, the solution to the problems of life is not just to change the external circumstances. We may have to do that as a stopgap, cosmetic relief. But the only solution, actually, is to cure the disease in people's hearts. The problem is not the circumstance. The problem is not the environment. The problem is not people. The problem is us. We have to put ourselves in an environment that we can actually cure our hearts. Enechi ashari mario, nashi barolagi, harinam mahamantra lao tumi mavi. Lord Chaitanya said, I have the medicine for this disease, which is the cause of fear and pride and lust and envy and anger and greed and illusion. Just take this medicine in the association of devotees and chant the holy names of the Lord. You're sounding very hungry, tired, and thirsty. Let us try again.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Suddenly Kamsa dropped the reins of the horses with his left hand and grabbed his innocent sister Devaki's hair. Then he drops the horsewhip from his white hand, draws his deadly sword, and is about to sever her head in rage. Devaki was trembling. She was innocent and helpless, about to die. Vasudev, her beloved husband, had to save her somehow or other. So he spoke words of truth and compassion, words of warning. First he flattered Kamsa. Because if you want to preach to someone, first you have to open their hearts. Yes? Prabodhananda Saraswati says like this. Actually, Prabhupada gave this instruction when he was sending Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he was sending his original sannyasis to London to preach. He said, this is the way you must preach. You put straw between your teeth, which means you're accepting the humblest possible position before that person. And then you say, oh sir, you are very learned, and you are very distinguished and honorable. And then the person opens their heart. Yes, yes. Now please, dear sir, oh honorable sir, forget everything you know and listen to the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yes, yes. So what is the use of speaking if you're not transforming a person's heart? Sometimes not speaking is better than speaking. According to time, place, circumstance, Kaladesha Patra, the real thing is how to actually transform a person's heart from an exploitative state of consciousness to one of love and service. From ego to a willingness and eagerness to hear. So Vasudev said to Kamsa, oh, pride of the Bhoja dynasty, who is honored and worshipped by great heroes. Please hear what I say, Kamsa. You know, that was enough to stop him from severing Devaki's head to listen to more. Then he explained that, oh, great hero, for one who is born, death is born along at the same time. Death is certain. So the credibility of a person is how they live in this life, which determines their next life. The soul is eternal. It is eternally separate from this body, but it temporarily takes residence in this body. and becomes conditioned by this body. But at the time of death, the soul goes to another body, just like a traveler picks up one foot and puts it on the ground, and then picks up the rear foot, separating it from the ground to place it on the ground again. Or just like a caterpillar gives up one leaf to go to another leaf, then gives up that leaf to go to another leaf. In the same way, the soul is transmigrating birth after birth after birth, giving up these bodies. It's inevitable. But what type of body will we get in the future? That is what is all important. We were hearing yesterday in Prabhupada Lilamrita, where Prabhupada was speaking to a big, big professor, PhD in Indology and Indian history and religion in Russia, Moscow, Professor Katowski. And Professor Katowski said, Swamiji, it is my belief that at the time of death, everything is finished. Prabhupada's told later, he's a PhD in philosophy in Indian religion. Even the illiterate field worker in India knows that I have to behave properly in this life because it's going to determine my next life. And life passes like a flash. Intelligence means to understand the soul as eternal and act and speak in such a way that we're actually benefiting the soul beyond just this temporary bodily existence. So Kamsa was explained in this way. Therefore, you should act in such a way that will be good for you. The heinous murder of your own innocent sister, how will that benefit you? The mind. When the mind comes under the control of the three modes of material nature, we create so many false identities. Just like the luminaries, like the moon, or the star, or the sun. When they reflect off water or oil, according to the wind, it's creating waves in the oil or the water. And the reflection of the luminaries sometimes becomes long, sometimes becomes very small, sometimes trembles. So similarly, the mind, when our soul perceives through the contaminated mind, then the modes of nature agitate the mind, and we see our identity according to that, which is a perverted reflection of the reality of who we really are. So therefore, we should act according to truth and nobility. Kamsa, as your well-wisher, I'm pleading with you, don't destroy your life by this hideous act. But when a man is immersed in his egoistic conceptions, it's very difficult to hear logic from someone else. Kamsa, trembling in rage, was about to sever her head. Vasudev began to think, somehow or other, I have to stop him. Because it is the duty of every human being who has intelligence and strength to somehow or other try to avoid death. Because this body is the property of God, and it is our duty to preserve it in the service of God. And he was thinking, and then he spoke to Kamsa. But Kamsa, you have no fear from your sister Devaki. The voice said, the eighth child will be the cause of your death. I I promise you, every consecutive child that Devaki ever bears, I will deliver to you, and you can do whatever you want with that child. But please spare your sister. Those words touched Kamsa's heart, and he set them free. Now, Vasudeva was such a man of truth, because for a person with integrity, his or her word of honor is more precious than life. In Kali Yuga, truthfulness is the last lag of religion that remains. And we see how it's wobbling. Today, to gain something for oneself, one is willing to say anything. But Srimad Bhagavatam explains that Mother Earth could bear all kinds of loads. She can bear the load of the Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, the Indian Ocean, and even the Arabian Sea. She can bear the Himalayan mountains, the Rocky Mountains, the Swiss Alps. She could bear 6 billion people. No problem. But Mother Earth cannot tolerate the weight of a single person who tells lies. Hare Krishna. Saralata, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, first principle to actually become spiritually advanced in bhakti is we must be simple. Simplicity means no duplicity. We're straightforward, we're honest, we're respectful, and we're humble. Vasudeva had that quality. Therefore, Kamsa trusted him. After some time, a child was born. The day the child was born, he was named Kirtiman. And Vasudeva, true to his word, brought this beautiful little innocent newborn baby and presented him to Kamsa. Even Kamsa's heart melted by this gesture. He said, actually, Vasudeva, I have no danger from this child. It's the eighth child. Bring my little nephew home. Vasudeva brought the nephew home, but he knew in his heart that because Kamsa did not have control of his mind and senses, he was not to be trusted. A person who cannot control mind and senses can in so many ways turn around for their own self-interests according to the circumstances. So at that time, Narada Muni appeared in Kamsa's palace. Hare Krishna. Narada Muni is everyone's well-wisher. He's Trikalagya. He knows past, present, and future. He knows the intention of the Lord. And he ultimately knows what's best for everyone. So to people who are ignorant, they don't always understand the activities of a great Vaishnava. Because we're seeing by how things appear. But the Lord and his pure devotees act according to what's really everyone's self-interest. Therefore, it is said we must see through the eyes of the scriptures. When you see through the eyes of what you learn in the scriptures, you can see as it is. Acharya Upashanam, one who hears the words of the acharyas, the great saintly teachers, they see things as they are. Otherwise, we see with our eyes, with our imperfect senses, and we interpret with our mind. And we only are accessing the appearance. In the West, it is said, you cannot judge a book by looking at its cover.
Hari Bol.
In marketing, the cover of the book is very important, as most people judge by the cover. Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigyena Bhujai. It's hard to understand the mind of a Vaishnav. Would you like to hear what Narada Muni said? Narada Muni came to Kamsa, who was actually feeling somewhat compassionate to Vasudeva and Devaki, and freed the child. Narada Muni said, "You know, I was traveling and I heard what happened. The demigods, headed by Brahma, went to Mount Meru." Listening? You're listening, Kamsa? "Yes, I'm listening, I'm listening." Because a person who is envious always wants to hear about his enemies. "Yes?" He said, "Brahma received a message from Vishnu that Vishnu will be appearing within the Yadu dynasty, and he ordered the demigods, your enemies who want you dead, to take birth in the Yadu dynasty also. And let me tell you something else. In your previous birth, you were Kalanemi, and you were killed by Vishnu. And now Vishnu's going to be born in the Yadu dynasty to kill you again, and the demigods are there to help him. Any of these children could be Vishnu or his associates." Ah, Kamsa became very angry, and he ordered Vasudeva and Devaki to be brought to his prison. And he killed the child and put Vasudev and Devaki in chains. Hare Krishna. 6 children were born in that prison. And every time the child was born, Kamsa came. And what was his birthday present? He lifted up the child and ruthlessly smashed it to death on a rock. And Vasudeva and Devaki are watching their own beloved children being slaughtered right before their eyes. Can you imagine the pain of a mother and father? Why did Vasudeva and Devaki keep having children? We have to go back a little in history to understand this. When Vasudeva was born to the king Surasena, drums played in the sky. Droom, droom, droom. Very joyful drums. And then the Sanskrit word for the sound of drums is dundubi. And that dundubi, that sound of drums, was proclaiming that from Vasudev, incarnation of the Lord will appear within this world. Therefore, his mother and father named him Anakadundabi. And Vasudev knew this. And Devaki also knew this. They understood that Lord Vishnu, the Lord of their life and their love, was going to appear as their child, their 8th child. Why does he appear? Yada yada hi dharmasya gnanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chatuskritam dharma samstapadarataya sambhavami juke juke. He comes to bestow mercy upon all living beings. He comes to attract everyone's heart back to his loving service, to reestablish the principles of religion. Vasudeva and Devaki are the eternal servants of the Lord. They knew the 8th child would be the Lord. So for the welfare of all humanity and the pleasure of the Lord, they had to have 7 children to facilitate the Lord to appear as the 8th. They were willing to suffer the heartbreak of seeing the inevitable slaughter of their own children because they had such great faith and devotion in the will of Krishna. And they wanted to so much to assist the will of Krishna. The seventh child entered the womb. He was Ananta, or Baladev. The plenary, the first expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Balaram is he who is the very personification of unadulterated devotional service. Our beloved Acharyas explain it in this way. Are you still awake? There was a great sage named Marichi who was born from the mind of Lord Brahma. Marichi represents the mind. The mind has six sons. Yes? These six sons can be interpreted in two ways. Simultaneously, the anartas, lust, envy, anger, pride, greed, and illusion. And these are the enemies to the soul. These enemies reside within the mind, and they steal away our inclination for devotional service. And how do they steal us away? By bewildering us to think that the objects of the senses will give us pleasure. And there are six sense objects and six senses. Yes? There is the eyes, and the object is sight. The nose, and the object of smell. The tongue, the object of taste. The flesh, the object of touch. The ears, the object of sound. And for the mind, the object of thought. So these Sadgarbhas, the six sons of Marichi, represent the anartas and attachment, infatuation to the six sense objects. Devaki represents bhakti, represents pure devotion. And Kamsa represents fear of material bondage, fear of material attraction. When Bhakti Devi or Devaki, when a heart of a devotee fears the kamsa of material attractions, that fear actually kills attachment to the sense objects. It removes the anartas from the heart. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada told, we must understand the nature of this material world very carefully and philosophically, otherwise we'll be bewildered. Dukalayam ashashvatam. Everything in this world is temporary. We cannot be attached to them in an egoistic way. When we practice sadhana bhakti, we are hearing the glories of the Lord, we are chanting the glories of the Lord, we are serving the Lord, we're seeing the beautiful darshan of the deities, we're tasting the prasad. And actually, our senses are finding a lot of pleasure. And sometimes in our service, our senses are feeling pain. Yes? The pleasures and pains derived from devotionals or that are taking place while we're executing devotional service are subsequent. They're happening. But what's prime is we just carry on whatever pains or pleasures our senses are going through, we carry on purifying our heart through hearing and chanting and serving the Lord. That is the process of purification. And in the beginning stages, we must fear falling down, either subtle or gross. Without that fear, we will not take shelter of Krishna. Now, that does not mean that we think God is the Lord of wrath and we should always live in fear of his condemnation. God is the Lord of love. We want to take shelter of that Lord of love, that Lord of sweetness and beauty. But in order to wholeheartedly do that, we must understand the dangers that are all around us and turn to Krishna. When a child feels a dangerous situation, it cries for its mother. And the more dangerous the situation, the louder it cries. Have you heard? Especially during Srimad Bhagavatam class, this is a very prominent feature. Sometimes babies would cry and Prabhupada would say, take the child out. Because you can't listen when everyone's crying. Actually, when I was on that plane and they were saying, brace, 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 and we're actually seconds away from the landing where nobody knew whether we would live or die. Everything was so shaken up and everyone was so tense and everyone was so confused that this little baby just started crying as loud as I have ever heard a baby cry. Just everyone. If you were that baby, how would you be crying? That baby was crying so loud. And there was a devotee not far from the baby who was saying, it was really hard for me to concentrate on the holy name because that baby was making so much noise. See? I was thinking that Krishna was manifesting through that baby to everyone how we're supposed to be crying out for him. That baby was crying for its mother and father. With that intensity, with that desperation, we should be crying out for our Supreme Mother and Father, Radha and Krishna. So when we understand the dangers of this world, then in great love and sincerity, we turn to God. We take shelter of hearing his glories. We take shelter of reading Prabhupada's books. We take shelter of praying to the deities. We take shelter of associating with devotees. We take shelter of whatever little service we have to connect with the Lord. And we take shelter of the holy name. We take shelter of the remembrance of the form of the Lord in our hearts. Ye yathamam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamyaham. Krishna reciprocates according to how we approach him. Devotees take shelter of Krishna in everything they do. Nothing is just a ritual. Nothing is just a duty. Every situation we do at every moment of our life on the path of bhakti is an opportunity to do it in such a way that our consciousness can take shelter of the Lord. To immerse ourselves in remembering God. So yes, the kamsa of Devaki, or the devotee's fear of material existence, removes attachments to the sense objects and removes the six anartas, or unwanted enemies of our heart. And what happens when they are removed? Then by the mercy of the spiritual master, Baladev, who represents unalloyed devotional service, enters our heart. Then that spontaneous desire to serve and to love the Lord awakens within us. That is Balaram. And he prepares for the appearance of Krishna or Prema within our heart. First there is love, and Krishna reciprocates and appears within the environment of unconditional love. The Supreme Personality of Godhead called for Yogamaya. Who is Yogamaya? Yoga Amaya is the Lord's spiritual potency, Swarup Shakti. Yogamaya rules over Goloka Vrindavan like a queen. She is the very embodiment of prem, or pure unalloyed love, and makes every arrangement to increase the intensity of the love between the Lord and his devotees. And the expansion of Yogamaya is Mahamaya, who within this world controls. How does she control? By deceiving the spirit soul, the jivatma, to think I am this body, I am the enjoyer, and all these things are mine to enjoy. That is Mahamaya. Janasya mohoya mahamameti. Yogamaya bewilders the devotee to increase the sweetness of their loving exchange with Krishna. And Mahamaya bewilders a materialistic person to engage in activities that perpetuate their bondage and suffering. Hare Krishna. Yogamaya was called by the Lord. He told her that at this particular time, my expansion of Ananta is within the womb of Devaki. Actually, the eternal mother of Balaram is Rohini. I want you to transfer Baladev the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. And then I am personally going to enter into the heart of Devaki to be her child. And you should take birth as a female child of Yashoda, the wife of Nanda in Gokul. And he gave her other instructions also. Rohini was wife of Vasudev. Vasudev had several wives. When he was imprisoned with Devaki, he still had access to meeting his other wives. He sent his wives to Gokul Mahavan to take shelter of Nanda Maharaj. Why? So that they could be protected. Especially Rohini was pregnant. And he saw how Kamsa was killing all his children. So Rohini secretly went to Gokul in the Mahavan forest of Vrindavan, where she lived just like a loving sister of Yashoda, under the care of Nanda. Rohini was pregnant. According to the Haribamsa, it is described in this way. During Rohini's 7th month of pregnancy, she had an experience that was like a dream. In that dreamlike state, she experienced that she had a miscarriage startled, she woke up, and she found that it was true. She was disturbed in heart. But then Yogamaya Devi appeared to her and spoke. Said, Rohini, it is the Lord's wish that the child of Devaki is being transferred into your womb to be your own child. Therefore, his name will be Shankarshan. The original Baladev is the son of Rohini. He was returned to the womb of his mother, his eternal mother. Meanwhile, in Mathura, Devaki had no child. So the people of the palace were thinking she had a miscarriage. There was all kinds of rumors going about. Some were thinking that Kamsa must have given some kind of poison drug that caused a miscarriage in the seventh child. Kamsa was thinking some problem happened. People were crying. And Kamsa, in his artificial diplomacy, actually was showing lamentation that, oh, miscarriage of my sister. Even though if it was born, he would have killed it. Lord Baladev's expansion is Anantashesha, who is eternally rendering loving service to the Supreme Lord. In the spiritual world, Lord Balaram expands himself as Goloka, as the shoes of the Lord, as the bed of the Lord, as the seat of the Lord, as the clothes of the Lord, as the ornament of the Lord. In every way, Lord Baladev is the supreme personality of servitor Godhead. Although he's God, he's immersed in serving God, Krishna. So Baladev came first. Baladev is also the original spiritual master. The words of the spiritual master, which is the energy of Balaram, actually clean the heart and prepare it for the coming of Krishna. Baladev, in his form of Anantashesha, made Devaki's heart a very wonderful sitting place for the Lord to come. After the Lord Baladev cleared the heart of Devaki and made it a suitable residence, as the spiritual master does within our hearts, Krishna, at a most auspicious time in the month of Magh, entered into the heart of Vasudev. When he entered into the mind of Vasudev, Vasudev was feeling so much bliss. He became so effulgent with life. And then, from Vasudev's mind, just like the sun as it is setting in the western horizon, transfers its light to the rising full moon, the Lord transferred himself from the heart of Vasudev to the heart of Devaki. From that day, Devaki became effulgent with beauty. When Kamsa saw her, he understood the eighth child, who is destined by providence to kill me, has now appeared within my sister. First, he contemplated killing his sister immediately. But then he was thinking, that will be very bad for my reputation, to kill an innocent woman. But he made his plan. As soon as this child is born, he will be slain by my hands. Devaki became so beautiful. She actually became the spiritual abode the residence of the Supreme Lord. Knowing this, the demigods actually came in invisible forms into the prison cell of Kamsa to offer their heartfelt prayers to the child within her womb, knowing him to be their supreme worshipable deity. Now, according to our particular state of consciousness, we see the phenomena around us in different ways. Yes? One person sees a devotee when they see Govinda or Gauranga or Braj Bihari or Leela Shuka Prabhu dressed in saffron with tilak and shaved heads. Devotees, oh, just tears come from their hearts thinking, a Vaishnav, let me offer my obeisances. Let me do some service. Someone else will think, why don't you get a haircut? Nice dress you have on. And they'll just make crude jokes. Someone else will think, ah! Worshipper of a false god, a heretic, you should die! Yes? What's the difference? They're seeing the same Govinda, Prabhu. We see things according to our state of consciousness. What is reality? Reality is our consciousness on one level. There is no two people in the entire creation that see the world in the same way. According to our conditionings, the mind is the mirror of our consciousness. You've seen those different mirrors where if a mirror is bent, you look big or you look small. When the mind is completely pure, then we can see things as they are. So here it is, the demigods are weeping and crying and offering prayers of praise to the child in the womb, and Kamsa is feeling fear. The demigods are feeling hope, and Kamsa's feeling fear and hatred and envy. And we saw Dwarkadish Prabhu. Kamsa incarnated in him today. He was an instrument of Kamsa's wrath today in his beautiful performance. How was Kamsa thinking? He was in so much fear of that child within the womb. He was seeing Krishna everywhere. When he was sitting, he was seeing Krishna. When he was laying down, he was seeing Krishna. When he was eating, he was seeing Krishna. When he was walking, he was seeing Krishna. And everywhere he saw Krishna, he was in fear. He had so much envy in his heart. He wanted to kill Krishna. He wanted to destroy Krishna. He was fully Krishna conscious. 24 hours a day, he was immersed in Krishna. He couldn't sleep. Just like, Rupa Goswami explains, just like a young boy and a young girl who are in love with each other can't stop thinking of each other, in that same way we should become completely infatuated by Krishna. And how do we do that? By purifying our heart, by hearing his glories and chanting his holy name. Narada Muni tells in the seventh canto, the gopis were completely attached to Krishna in a mood of spiritual passion. Shishupal was thinking of Krishna 24 hours a day in envy. And Kamsa couldn't sleep at night. He couldn't do anything practically. He was immobilized by his constant fear of Krishna. And Narada Muni was thinking, I wish I could think of Krishna with such intensity.
But his Krishna consciousness was unfavorable.
It wasn't a mood of servant. It was a mood of an enemy. So every day, he was just trembling and fear and anger, waiting to kill that child. On this particular day that we are celebrating, at the midnight hour, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared from Devaki's body in the air. There was no labor or childbirth. He simply appeared before their eyes. And just to show who he really was, he was not a naked baby with an umbilical cord. He appeared as Narayan, fully clothed in beautiful garments, ornaments, and jewels, including Kaustubha Mani. He had a beautiful crown of gold. He had four arms holding the conch shell, the lotus flower, the disc, and the club. Beautiful garland. And he glanced upon Vasudev and Devaki. Devaki and Vasudev understood him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They honored him and worshipped him as God, but simultaneously loved him like a son. They were in Aishwarya Bhava, which means they understood and recognized his supreme majesty, but still they loved him with the intimacy of a parent for a child. Vasudev offered beautiful prayers and glorification of Krishna, and then Devaki did as well. Devaki prayed that this was her motherly affection, or Vatsalya Bhav. She's recognizing that her child is the supreme, infallible, undefeatable Lord. But simultaneously, her mother affection, she feared that if Kamsa sees him like this, then he'll know who he is and he'll cause harm to him. She was fearless in her knowledge, but fearful in her motherly heart. So she requested the Lord, who is the creator and maintainer of all universes, to assume the form of an ordinary child so that he could be hidden and protected from Kamsa. The Supreme Personality of Godhead spoke to Vasudev and Devaki. He explained, amongst things, how they were his parents, birth after birth. He said, previously, you do not remember this, but I remember. You are eternally my mother and father. Your expansions appeared as Prishni and Sutapa. Vasudev, you were Sutapa. Devaki, you were Prishni. You performed severe austerities in devotional service to me for 12,000 celestial years. And I appeared before you in the same form that you see today. So pleased by your devotion, I offered you any benediction. The benediction you asked for was that you have a child just like me. But there's no one just like me. So I personally became your child. Prishni, in the Treta Yuga, I became your child, Prishni Garbha, born from the womb of Prishni. And then again, you appeared as your expansions of Kashyapa and Aditi. And for a second time, I became your child as Upendra. And because I was born in a form of a beautiful dwarf, I am known as Vamanadev. And now, for the third time, I am going to appear as your child, Krishna. And you will attain the ultimate perfection by constant remembering me, and you will return back home, back to Godhead. When I appeared to you, you didn't ask for liberation. You didn't ask for any material assets. You only asked that you could serve me as your parent. You are my pure devotees. I will appear as your child. I have appeared as your child. Now, Vasudev, take me across the Yamuna to Gokul. And there, Yashodamai has just given birth to a female child. You should exchange me with that little baby girl and bring her back to the dungeon cell of Kamsa. After receiving this instruction, Vasudeva and Devaki understood what was their mission. The Lord disappeared in the form of Vishnu and assumed the most beautiful form of an infant baby child. According to the Bhagavatam, Devaki, before sending her child on this journey, with great motherly love, fed him with the milk from her breast. That milk became Krishna's Mahaprasad. And we'll find out from later story in Srimad Bhagavatam how everything works out so congenially in Krishna's Leela. Can I fast forward? Then I'll rewind again. When Krishna came back to Mathura with Balaramji, actually they were living in Dwarka, and Devaki said to Krishna and Balaram that those six children, I never got to serve them or love them. They were killed immediately by Kamsa. Can you bring them back to me? So Krishna and Balaram went to the abode of Bali and brought the six children back to Devaki and Vasudev. And Devaki had such parental love for her little children, she never even got to feed them the milk from her breast. So she fed each one of them the milk from her breast. Arivo, this is the best part of the story. Because that milk was Mahaprasad that Krishna had drank many years before when he was a baby, drinking that prasad, they became completely spiritual, perfect, and liberated. Gaur Premanandi! Previously, the six sons of Marichi, they committed an offense by laughing at Lord Brahma when he did something mysterious. And therefore, they had to be cursed to be born in sons of demons and killed by demons. But because they facilitated Krishna's Leela, and because of the prayers of the great devotee Devaki and Vasudev, they attained spiritual perfection by drinking the milk, the Mahaprasad of a devotee. Yes. When the great souls pray for us and nourish us with the milk of their mercy in the form of transcendental knowledge and devotional service, then we too can become perfect and regain our original position as the eternal servitors of the Lord. Shri Krishna Bhagavan Ki Jai. Vasudev held the little baby Krishna in his arms. By Yogamaya's potency, the shackles and chains around his legs just came off. Yogamaya potency sent Nidra Devi, the goddess of sleep. And everyone in the palace fell fast asleep. There were thick, solid steel doors keeping Devaki and Vasudev in, latched with chains and locks. They all just opened, and the doors opened. Vasudev took the child. After being breastfed by Devaki, and left the prison cell. It was raining that day, but Ananta Shesha, who was eternally the Lord's umbrella in Vaikuntha, appeared like an umbrella to shelter Vasudev and Krishna from the rains. The rains were very torrential. And therefore the river Jamuna was flooded with whirlpool currents of waves all around. But just as the Indian Ocean gave way for Ram to cross to Sri Lanka, similarly, Yamuna Devi made a pathway for Vasudev to cross. Srila Prabhupada explains in the first canto of Bhagavatam that Yamuna Devi wanted to render special service to the Lord. So she made a special wave come, and in that condition, Vasudev dropped Krishna into Yamuna. Arivo. Prabhupada explains that the river Ganges, the reason it is so sanctified is when it comes into this universe, it washes the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the entire Ganges is Charanamrit. It's filled with the pollen of the dust of the feet of the Lord, which is all pure. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, anyone who sees the Ganges, smells the Ganges, feels a breeze that touches the Ganges, what to speak of drink the water of Ganga or bathe in it? Love of God, love of Krishna begins to awaken within the heart. Purification takes place because of that touch of the lotus feet of the Lord. Yamuna Devi wanted that same benediction. Jiva Goswami explains when Krishna fell in the Yamuna, Vasudev was very much eager. Because it was dark out, he was searching everywhere and everywhere in the river, increased his ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. Yes? When there is an emergency, then the intensity of our devotion to Krishna becomes increased. Similarly, when there is separation from the Lord, Vasudev, holding the loving Krishna, all of a sudden was separate from the Lord, and his ecstasy just increased like anything in his anticipation to find the Lord. This is called transcendental anxiety. Arivo. Devotees are not concerned with being free of anxiety. Shanti, shanti, shanti is a state above material anxiety. But above shanti, shanti, shanti is spiritual anxiety. were due to the intensity of our love, were in anxiety to do something wonderful for Krishna. The gopis were in anxiety and separation from Krishna. Vasudeva was in anxiety to protect Krishna. And on that day, Krishna fulfilled all the desires of Yamuna, and the acharyas explained from that day, because Krishna personally bathed in the Yamuna became 100 times more purifying than Ganga Devi. Yamuna Mayi Ki! But then Ganga Mayi was thinking that I only got to wash your feet, but Krishna, he bathed in you, and then later on he was bathing in you with the cows, and he was having Ras Leela with gopis in you. She wasn't envious. She just wanted to do service like Yamuna. So Ganga Devi's desires were fulfilled when Krishna told her that in the Kali Yuga, all the most intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna will be performed on your banks when I appear, Krishna, with the ecstatic sentiment of Radharani as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvip Dham. And there you will enjoy the same pastimes. So as Vasudeva was taking Krishna across Yamuna, with his heart filled with love for his child, duty-bound by his instruction, he entered into the home of Nanda Maharaj. Everyone was sleeping by Yogamaya's influence. And Yashoda Mai gave birth, and because of the fatigue of her birth, she fell asleep without remembrance of what happened. At that time, Vasudeva exchanged little baby Krishna for the little girl Yogamaya and brought her back to Mathura. Haribamsa, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Sanatana Goswami, Srila Prabhupada, our beloved acharyas, explain the wonderful truths within this pastime. Do we have time to speak? There was a great king of the Yadu dynasty named Devaida. He had two wives. One was a Kshatriya, and other was Vaishya. From each of these wives, he had a son. The Kshatriya's wife's son was named Surasena. And the Vaishya's son was named Parjanya. Surasena became a king of the Yadus. And Parjanya took charge of taking care of the cows. And because of his unlimited good and loving devotional qualities, he was made the king of the cowherd community. And he lived in a place called Mahavan in the area, or specifically Gokul, in the forest of Mahavan. Parjanya was dearly loved by not only all the cowherd men and women, but even the cows and the calves and the bulls, because he was such a protector in a spirit of love and devotion. In Mathura, the kingdom, Surasena gave birth to Vasudeva. Parjanya had five sons: Upananda, Abhinanda, Nanda, Sunanda, and Nandan. When Parjanya saw that his sons grew up completely in unity and respect for one another, he desired to retire and give the king position to his eldest son, Upananda. But there was no envy amongst these brothers. All the brothers and all the residents of Braj, they had so much love and respect for Nanda. Because Nanda Maharaj was such an embodiment of auspicious, compassionate, good qualities. So Upananda voluntarily gave his coronated position as king to his younger brother Nanda Maharaj and made him Brajendra Nandana, or Brajendra, Brajendra, the king of Braj. There was a very virtuous cowherd man named Sumukha who had a beautiful daughter. It was said about this daughter that her virtuous qualities were so deep and so pure that anyone who associated with her, anyone who was favored by her, would gain eternal fame. Therefore, they named her Yashoda, one who possesses all divine fame and fortune. Yashoda was married to Nanda Maharaj. And how he organized the community of Braj was to everyone's great jubilation. But there was one anxiety in everyone's heart, that although Nanda and Yashoda were becoming old, they never had a child. A beautiful child would regularly appear simultaneously to Nanda and Yashoda in their dreams. And they both totally fell in love with this child. They couldn't live without this child. They wanted to serve this child. But then the dream would disappear. And they would be in separation from this child of their dream. And then the child again would appear in their dream, and their hearts would overwhelmingly flow with love, and then the child would disappear. Their only desire in life was that that child be their child. But there was no children. In fact, the elder brothers of Nanda, Upananda and Abhinanda, they wanted to do all yajnas to bestow the benediction of having a child. But Nanda and Yashoda were not into all these rituals. They spontaneously loved that child of their dream. They performed the Dwadasi Vrat for one full year in a spirit of devotion. Something wonderful took place. Are you awake? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, appeared simultaneously to Nanda and Yashoda in a dream and said, "I know your desire and I will fulfill your desire. That child who you've given your heart and soul to that appears in your dreams will enter into your heart and be born as your child." Simultaneously, Nanda and Yashoda had this experience. They saw that beautiful object of their parental love enter into the heart of Nanda Maharaj, and then from Nanda Maharaj's heart enter into the heart of Devaki. But along with him was a beautiful little girl who entered into Yashoda. The child went from the heart of Nanda Maharaj into the heart of Yashoda. And then a little girl who was alongside him entered into Yashoda's womb. From that day on, Yashoda became illustrious. This incident of the Lord appearing within the heart of Nanda and Yashoda was on the fortnight of the waning moon in the month of Magh. 8 months later, on this day, something wonderful happened. Krishna appeared from the heart of Yashoda, and Yogamaya, as a beautiful girl, appeared from her womb. Yashoda Mai had twins. Not twins, but two children. Yogamaya is considered Anuja, the younger sister of Krishna, because she appeared just after Krishna. Exactly at the same time that Krishna came from Yashoda's heart, his expansion, Vasudev, came out of Devaki's heart. Boom. They were born exactly the same time. Krishna in Mahaban and his expansion, Krishna, in Mathura. And then on Krishna's order, Yogamaya took that beautiful baby boy, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, to Mathura. Just like a wind carries an aroma of a flower, she carried baby Krishna, Yashoda Nandan, to Mathura. And then, right at that point, Devaki was asking for the Lord to appear as an ordinary child. And Vasudev Krishna, the son of Devaki, merged into the original Krishna, Yashoda Nandan. So actually, Vasudev was bringing back Yashoda's own son, who was also simultaneously his son, Haribo. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, why is Krishna so much being famed as the son of Devaki? Because Yashoda, being very, very dear best friends with Devaki, she wanted the world to give fame and glory to Devaki as the mother of Krishna. Haribo. So Krishna was returned to Yashoda, and Vasudev brought Yogamaya back to Mathura. But what happened is Yogamaya transformed into Mahamaya. This is explained by our beloved predecessors. As soon as the little baby girl came into the prison cell, Vasudev put his shackles back on his legs. The baby cried. When she cried, everyone woke up. But everyone was sleeping. Even Kamsa was sleeping. Everyone woke up. And immediately they ran to Kamsa. The child is born. The child is born. Ah, Kamsa said, time personified. My providential killer has come. He's appeared. I will destroy him. He ran down in absolute fear and wrath. And there's Devaki holding an innocent little infant girl. Give me that child! Devaki was weeping and crying. You've already killed six of my babies. This is a girl. You have no fear of a girl. Just please let me have this one child to nurse as a mother. Please don't kill her. But Kamsa, due to his ego, was so overcome with
fear and selfishness, that he just ripped that child with his hands right out of Devaki's arms. And on his knees, he just picked. It says in the scriptures that each of Kamsa's arms was as powerful as 10,000 elephants. Now, what that arm can do to a soft little innocent baby girl. He grabbed her and lifted her up and swung her down to crush her to death on a slab of stone. But as he was coming down, Yogamaya, who became Mahamaya, because Yogamaya never associates with demons like Kamsa. Yogamaya can never be touched by a demon like Kamsa. Mahamaya. She slipped right out of his hands, and it is explained, as she slipped out of her hands, she put her foot right on Kamsa's head. Then went into the sky and manifested the eight-arm form of Durga riding on a lion, holding weapons like swords and bludgeons and clubs. And she looked at Kamsa, and she said, "Kamsa, you are a fool. The eighth child of Devaki is already somewhere else, and he will be the cause of your death. Why do you cause all this pain to your innocent brother-in-law and sister?" And then she disappeared. And she traveled and manifested herself in so many different parts of India and the world. So many parts of the world. And according to Krishna's will, she is worshipped by so many names. Vaishnavi, Kali, like that. After hearing these words, Kamsa became very sober. He became introspective. What have I done to my brother and sister? Ultimately, everything's out of my control. But I've kept them in prison year after year and year and slaughtered all their children. Kamsa actually became apparently very humble and repentant and begged forgiveness from Devaki and Vasudeva for all that he has done to them. And the amazing thing, Vasudeva and Devaki were completely sympathetic and compassionate toward him. They forgave him. They said, "Actually, Kamsa, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. You were just an instrument of the modes of material nature upon us. Everyone has to act according to how they are being dictated by these modes of material nature. We forgive you. We feel compassion upon you." They were speaking from their hearts. This is the nature of a Vaishnava. At the same time, Yashodamai woke up and laying beside her was Gopal, whose complexion was like an Indranila gem. It was dark like the tamal tree, or sometimes compared to a newly formed monsoon rain cloud. It was the object of all spiritual beauty. This little baby's eyes were like fully blown lotus petals. As they moved, they just enchanted Yashodamai's heart with ecstatic parental love. His nose was like a sesame flower, and his lips were like bright red bimba fruit. His hair was curling and scattered like the crow's feathers. His every limb was so soft and radiant with sweetness and beauty. Yashodamai couldn't stop looking at this child,
her heart was just brimming, overflowing with ecstasy. Her motherly love was uncontrollable. It was oceanic. She embraced that child. She kissed that child. She loved that child. And then a Brahmani was sent to give the news to Nanda Maharaj. It was now early morning on the day of Nandotsava. Nanda Maharaj, Upananda, Abhinanda, Sunanda, Nanda, they were all leading the cowherd men and milking cows. This is considered most auspicious time when cows are being milked. Do you know why? That will be revealed to you. Because Krishna likes when cows are milked. Whatever pleases Krishna is most auspicious. It's like Srila Prabhupada said, you have so many lines on your hands that people are very worried. Oh, I have this line, and because palmistry. Prabhupada said, you just clap your hands before the deities and everything becomes auspicious. All your lines become auspicious. I don't know if Prabhupada meant that type of clapping. He meant clapping in kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Shri Harinam Sankirtan Ki. There's a beautiful verse in Bhagavatam. Tasmat sankirtanam Vishnu jagan mangalam. That means that wherever there is the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, wherever there is the remembrance of the Lord, wherever Krishna is pleased, that place becomes all auspicious. Now, ritualistic people, they're always thinking auspicious, inauspicious. Yes, so many details that make things auspicious or inauspicious. And I won't do this today because it's an inauspicious time and in an inauspicious situation, and this person looked at me in an inauspicious way, and a donkey crossed me on the left side, so that's inauspicious, so I won't do this today. Yes? But actually, if we're engaging a devotional service for Krishna's pleasure, then everything is transformed into supreme auspiciousness. It's all important. Lord Chaitanya explains that wherever there is the congregational chanting of the holy names by the offenseless and pure hearts of the Vaishnavas, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam, it is supremely a victorious and auspicious situation. So Nanda Maharaj, as he and the cowherd men were milking the cows at this most auspicious time, the Brahmani came with the news that Gopal has appeared as the son of Yashoda. And she came with all these gifts to offer Nanda Maharaj. But she was so intoxicated with ecstatic love that she could not say a word. She was just standing there with these gifts. And Nanda and the gopas were looking at her. And just by seeing her ecstasy, they could understand that the child was born. And finally, when she somehow or other announced that Yashoda has given birth to your son, Nanda Maharaj, ki jai, everyone began celebrating. All the cowherd men were laughing and screaming out God's, Lord Hari's holy names and dancing and embracing one another. And Nanda Maharaj immediately just gave all kinds of Brahman dakshina to this lady who gave such good news. Nanda Maharaj ran to his home to take his bath, and then he was coming. As fast as he could walk, he was coming to the place Yashoda and Krishna were lying. But he was in so much anticipation, he was in so much eagerness, he was
He didn't know who he was or where he was. He was practically paralyzed. He couldn't even walk. It is described that the Supreme Lord actually, invisibly, had to move him forward because he was just paralyzed. He was in so much eagerness. He was weeping. He was crying. And finally, he came to the place. And it was revealed. There was Yashoda Mai lying with the crest jewel of all beauty, Gopal. Ananda Maharaj began giving immense charity to create auspicious benedictions upon this child. This is culture. If you want to give benediction to a child, the best thing to do, or give benediction to anybody, is to please the great souls and get their blessings. So he was giving immense wealth for the blessing of his child. And all over Brajbhumi, there was dancing, there was singing, there was festivities, the Brahmins were chanting mantras in great bliss. And all the atmosphere at the coming of Krishna became pleasing to the heart. The flowers bloomed as if it was spring. The cool breezes of the autumn. The constellation Rohini and Ashwini stars showed all auspiciousness in the sky. Everything was conducive to bring pleasing happiness to everyone's hearts, to welcome Krishna. In fact, although it is Ashtami, the eighth day of the moon, Chandra appeared as a full moon that night. Why? Because he wanted to radiate the entire environment with his joy. The full moon was his smile. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Swayam Bhagavan, the source of all incarnations, the embodiment of all mercy and love, was appearing within his dynasty. Yes, in Gokul Mahavan, there was the festival of all festivals, Nandotsava, where they were giving the little baby Krishna Abhishekam. And they were splashing each other. Prabhupada explains, the wealth of the cowherd man was their butter and their yogurt and their milk and their ghee. So they were very lovingly, lovingly, lovingly rubbing it on each other and throwing it on each other and laughing and singing. Arivo. But after Holi, we're not going to have any other festivals like that in the temple. Because unless you're in that loving mood, should I tell you a secret?
No!
It won't be a secret if I tell you that. If you remember during our Gaur Purnima festival, we had this holy festival, which is same day, in the temple. How many of you remember that? Anyways, I was telling brahmacharis that we're going to try this. Because according to Bhakti Ratnakar, the holy festival is performed with very sweet, gentle love. And the way I personally witnessed it in Barsana, you know, in the forests, it's celebrated with very sweet, gentle love. People are just have their little powders, and they just, with tears in their eyes, they just sprinkle a little on your head and say, Jai Radhe. And then you put a little sprinkle on your head and go, Jai Radhe. Oh, then you embrace. So nice. So that's the way I encourage all of you to celebrate it. Very sweet, very gentle, very loving, very just sharing your respect and your affection for one another by giving Krishna's Mahaprasad, because all the powders was Krishna's Mahaprasad. It's loving exchange to give and receive prasad. So when I told us
one of our very intuitive and intelligent brahmacharis, Shyamananda Prabhu. He said, Maharaj, this will be the litmus test of how people actually follow instructions. Do you remember? This will be the test. We're thinking that this congregation is so obedient in following instructions. This will be the litmus test. Because the conditioning in India is not the way you're describing. So I requested everyone, let's celebrate this in a very sweet, loving way and transform the temple into Vrindavan. Within seconds, it was transformed into the battlefield of Kurukshetra. I had to stand with all humility before Shyamananda Prabhu and report to him, we failed the test. And he smiled. And everyone smiled until we had to clean up. Took 2 weeks to clean it up. But these are festivals of love. Yes, on the day of Nandotsav, the most glorious of all celebrations took place in Gokul Mahavan. Every single Brijabasi gave their heart, their soul, their body, their mind, their lives, and their words as an offering to Krishna. He became the king, the conqueror, and the beloved of their hearts. Everyone loved him as a friend, as a parent, and later on, even as a lover. It was on this most auspicious, joyous appearance. I mean, it's the most auspicious and joyous celebration of Krishna's advent in the earth, that His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, appeared in 1896 in Calcutta. He appeared for one purpose only, to teach the world how to experience the ultimate ananda, or spiritual ecstasy, of loving service to Krishna. The Krishna of Vrindavan, Vasudev and Devaki, their Vatsalya Ras, or parental love, was the love of God. They understood His opulence and majesty as God, but still loved Him as their own son. But there was no Aishwarya Bhav in Vrindavan, Madhurya Bhav. Nanda and Yashoda, by the yoga maya potency of the Lord, their prema, their love was so deep, so rich, that they did not even consider that He was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They had realized that, they knew that, but their love for Him just completely subdued that conception. And they simply loved Him as their own helpless, beautiful little child. If I don't feed Krishna, He may get sit or die. In Vrindavan, there is the Sakyaras. Krishna's friends experience His loving relation
as an equal. But their heart and soul is only to please him as a friend.
In Vatsalya Ras, Nanda and Yashoda, and all the elder cows and all the elder gopas and gopis, they love Krishna as their own child.
And Madhurya Ras, the younger gopis, in their absolutely pure heart, they surrender everything to Krishna as his lover for his satisfaction.
That is Vrindavan. And to attract the whole world to the supreme abode of Vrindavan, Krishna enacted his Vrindavan pastimes on this earth. And they are recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam and other great literatures. And by hearing of Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, we understand what the ultimate aspiration is for our lives. But we cannot take it cheaply. It's not that you can just pretend to be Krishna's mother or Krishna's friend or Krishna's lover. With the aspiration of entering into the divine lila of the Lord, we simply want to be the servant of the servant of the servant. This is the purport we read the other day of Srila Prabhupada. A devotee feels him or herself unfit to ask for such exalted things. Although that is our ultimate aspiration, we just want to be in the company of the devotees and absorb ourselves in serving the Vaishnavas, in hearing the glories of the Lord and chanting the holy names of the Lord. And when the Lord is pleased with us, he is Bhaktivatsal. Bhaktivatsal means he's affectionate toward his devotees. If we please Krishna, then his affection comes upon us. And that affection cleanses our heart and awakens our love. There's no other way. The love of the heart for God can only come when Krishna awakens it through his affection. Therefore, the great souls pray, Gopi Bharatur Patakamalayora Dasa Dasa Dasanu Das. This is Mahaprabhu's teaching, to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. Rupa and Sanatan Goswami reveal the highest levels of spiritual treasures of Vrindavan Dham. And we are Rupanugas. That means we are meant to follow in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami. But why? Why did Lord Chaitanya invest within Rupa Goswami this treasure of his own heart and love for Krishna? First, Rupa Goswami and Sanatana approached Lord Chaitanya with straw between their teeth, crying. Crying in humility. We're the lowest of the low. We're the most sinful. We're the most degraded. We're the most undeserving. But you are Patita Pavana. If you don't give us your mercy, we have no hope. The special feature of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, was their extraordinary humility. If we are actually Rupanugas, following in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami, we have to imbibe this spirit. Otherwise, all the intellectual information remains theoretical. Krishna appeared to attract our hearts to Vrindavan as Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. And Srila Prabhupada has so kindly, on behalf of all the previous acharyas, taught us the sweet and wonderful way of realizing and experiencing Krishna's love through offering our love, through the purification of our hearts. Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar. These are the words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna.
who appears with the love and the complexion of Sri Radha and distributes that love to the world through the congregational chanting of the holy name. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shishi Radha Gopinath ki jai, Shri Gaur Nithai ki jai, Shri Gopal ji ki jai, Ananti Gauri Vaishnav Vrinda ki jai, Sri Janmashtami Mahotsav ki jai, Gaur Premanandi. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I thank you very much.